But if you have a Bible, turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. That's where I'm going to be preaching from tonight. And then while you're turning there, and maybe you're using your phone to turn there, just hold up your phone for a second, if you would. I'm not going to tell you to silence it or anything like that. This is not a prank. But, you know, I started having a cell phone in about sixth grade. My parents gave me a LG flip phone. I think it was back when phones were still like just a series of numbers. They didn't have names for them. And my LG flip phone went everywhere with me. And it was so wonderful to have a dumb phone. Because one of the things about my dumb phone was I didn't realize you could take high definition pictures. I didn't know that was a thing. I had a 1.3 megapixel camera, and when the screen broke, it didn't change the picture resolution at all. I could take the same picture with a broken camera lens. But as time has gone on, we have switched over to the smartphone generation, and not only did you lose battery life in switching to smartphones, and part of that is because of our screen addiction as Americans, but my LG would go from Sunday to Monday the following week on one charge. My iPhone goes about 6 to 8 hours right now. I don't know what's up with that. But every night, when I plug in my iPhone, and when you plug in whatever phone you have, your phone begins to do something. Now, I'm not telling you about a conspiracy theory here. Your phone starts to send out signals to its mothership, and the mothership says, hey, you have software that needs to be updated, and your phone begins to update. And if you have it set on automatic updates, it does it without you ever knowing it. And if you don't have it set on automatic updates, well, then it tells you the next morning. And so I had an iPhone 7 for a little while before I switched to the newest iPhone, which really it's no different in my opinion. It doesn't even look different. But at a certain point, I stopped updating my iPhone because the more updates you do on the older iPhones, the worse the battery life gets. But after not updating 4 or 5 times, I would try and open an app and it immediately crashed. And the problem was my iPhone had outdated software trying to run newer software. And the reality is, as Christians, I know you're like, oh, wow, he juked us there. As Christians, we often find ourselves trying to live on old software. We often try to do things that are right the wrong way. And in Ephesians 4, Paul is inviting the believers at the church at Ephesus to realize that they have a new way. We see a difference between the old way and the new way in this passage, and Paul is inviting all of us as believers and even as unbelievers to realize what the old way was and what the new way gives. And so in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17, it says this. It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's pray together. Father, would you take your word and would you apply it to our hearts? Father, we so often wander back to the ways of the old man. God, I know I'm guilty of that. But Father, would you forgive us for that? And would you help us to realize the newness of life that we have in Christ Jesus? Would you help us to realize how we have indeed learned Christ and how that has changed us and can perpetually and continually change us until the day we come into your presence? It's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So Paul lays out two things here, and I know what you're thinking. 2 points, this is going to be quick. Yeah, this is going to be quick. I was told I only have 30 minutes, so I'm going to make it shorter. But the reality is we have two decisions. We have one decision as Christians between two ways. So we have come to Christ. We've believed in Jesus Christ. We've repented of our sins. We've placed our faith and trust in Him for salvation. We believe that He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And the reality is, Christianity doesn't stop there. Sometimes we think, oh, now that I'm saved, I'm safe to do whatever I want. And Paul talks about that continuously in other books. He says, grace is not a license to sin. Grace reminds us why we don't want to sin. Grace reminds us how bad sin is. And so Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, and he's talked to them, he's reminded them in Ephesians chapter 1 of how great their salvation is. He talks about how God had this plan from before time began to save them and to call them to Himself. He talks to them about what it is to be the church and how the church brings that message of salvation to the world around them. And now he's talking about people in the church. He goes from like this general understanding of Christendom down to the church, which is the local organism that you see Christianity played out, down to the individual, where he talks about the old man and the new man and what is going on in every Christian's life. And he is inviting each of us, Paul is, God by His Spirit is inviting us to walk in the new way. You see, he describes the past, and if you just go over to Ephesians chapter 2, we see the old man, or what Paul calls the Gentiles, or the rest of the Gentiles. And so what I want to do is, let's get that out of the way right now. In ancient culture, there were the Gentiles and there were the Jews. Right? Here's the significance. The Gentiles did not have the Old Testament. The Jews were given the Old Testament, and the Jews were responsible to bear the message of God that we see in the Old Testament to the world around them. And they failed miserably at that. But nonetheless, God sent Jesus Christ to save both Jews and Gentiles. God was not ethnocentric in His salvation. He used the Jews. He used this nation to bring that message of salvation. It wasn't that God only wanted to save the Jews. It wasn't that God only wanted to save a certain people. It was that God chose to use this people. And so He sends the law through the Jews, and He sends the prophets through the Jews, and then He sends the Messiah. Jesus Christ was Jewish. I don't know if you knew that, but He was raised according to Jewish standards. He was obedient to the law. He says He fulfilled the law. And not only does that mean He fulfilled the law by dying in our place as the perfect sacrifice, He also fulfilled the law in that while He walked on earth, He fulfilled God's law perfectly. He never sinned. He was completely perfect. Fully God, fully man. However we can understand that, I don't think we ever will. I don't know if we need to, but we need to believe that Jesus did all those things. And He did that to show us the way to God. And so we've come to Jesus Christ through faith, and the Gentiles and the Jews are invited to faith in Jesus Christ. But then what happens is this church at Ephesus is mainly comprised of Jews, or of Gentiles, excuse me. And these Gentiles don't have the law to rest on. They don't have the Torah. They don't have the Old Testament. It's not like they can go back and say, all right, well, there are the Ten Commandments, so we got to do those 10 things, and then there's a whole bunch of ceremonial laws that we need to do. No. As a matter of fact, later on in Paul's writing, or actually earlier on in Paul's writing, he talks to the Gentiles. He says, you don't have to become Jews. You have to become followers of Christ. And so here's what the Gentiles know. The Gentiles know sinfulness. They didn't have the law. They didn't have the prophets. They just knew the lifestyle that they always lived according to the flesh. And so Paul is making a contrast to these Gentiles that have come to faith in Jesus Christ. And he's saying, hey, listen, remember how you used to live. You once were far from God. You once acted like you were not God's. But now you are God's, so life has changed. And so the invitation that Paul brings is this. He says, look at the old way. He gives us some cues as to what the old way is. He says the old man, which we talk about this in the church a lot. If you're not familiar with these concepts, the old man and the new man. The old man is the one prior to salvation. The new man is the man that God is making in us after salvation. He says the old man walks in futility of their mind. The old man, his brain just does not work the right way. You're telling me lost people don't think the right way? I'm telling you, yeah. That's not to say they're dumb. Like, listen, let's tear down every barrier between us and the lost. They're not stupid. But the reality is they're sinners. And every time we, in our human strength, try and conceive how to make ourselves righteous and how to live the right way, we miss it if we don't begin with God. I've been talking about this a lot with some friends, but we talk about the evolutionary theory of Darwinism, how it begins with a thought that there is no supernatural power, or we talk about the worldviews that have no God in them, and we see how they're so altruistic that these people want to see good things, but guess what happens every time there's a worldview or an ideology that begins without God? It fails every time. Man cannot conceive a perfect system. We are futile in mind until Jesus Christ changes our minds radically. No solution of man can match the solution of God. It says they've had their understanding darkened. Well, how does that work? Well, the reality is, as you walk in sin, life gets darker. As you continue, as a lost man or lost woman, as you continue to walk in the lust of your flesh, life does not get better. As a matter of fact, sin becomes a snowball that makes life worse and worse. J. Vernon McGee said it so eloquently. He said, "The sinning man never says enough." Listen, if you are walking in sin, the reality is this: you have bought a massive lie. Every time you go back to that particular sin, in our society, I can give you three sins that are super frequent: alcoholism, pornography, and drugs. Frequently, people go back to these three things, and you know what happens every time? They say, "This is my last time." Or they may not say, "This is my last time," but they say, "Well, you know, this is going to satisfy me this time." And it never does. As a matter of fact, in all three of those circumstances, every time people go back, they have to have more than they did the last time. It never satisfies, and sin becomes a snowball, and it turns you into this darkened, walking dead man. You can't think, you can't see, you can't understand. It says the old man is alienated from the life of God. They don't have God's life, and then they don't have an understanding of the wonderful glory that is God's creation, of the wonderful glory of who Jesus Christ is. They're ignorant, they're blind, and they're past feeling. My father and I were watching TV the other day, and he said something so pertinent. We're watching TV, and suddenly a commercial comes on, and it starts with two women kissing. And it proceeds to talk about a dating app. And my dad looks at me and he says, "Every commercial is this lifestyle being pushed. Every commercial is this being made accepted." And I said, "Yeah, Dad, I know. The world is rough. I mean, we're bad. People are bad." And he said, "Yeah, but we're being desensitized." And I thought to myself, how true it is. The more sin is tolerated, and this is why the world keeps getting worse. You think the world's getting worse because the devil's more active? No. The world keeps getting worse because sin remains unchecked. The devil has been doing the same thing for years. He will not have success over God's plan. But the reality is, lost people get more lost. They go further and further. And Christian, if you're in sin, you're going to go further and further until you repent of that sin and come back to Jesus Christ and take the new way that he's offered you. You see, you look at that commercial I was talking about, and you see this desensitization. Why? What happened 20 years ago? 20 years ago, you never saw a commercial like that. And then a TV show or something gets introduced where it becomes normalized. And folks, please don't get upset with me here. Don't hear me going off on a rant. I love these people. I minister to these people that are walking in a lifestyle contrary to what God has designed. But the reality is, this is just one of many things that our culture in sinfulness has kept perpetuating, and it keeps getting worse because you know what wouldn't have been talked about 20 years ago? A man mutilating himself to make himself a woman. A woman mutilating herself to make herself a man. We've been desensitized. Sin desensitizes the lost mind, and it keeps going past feeling. And then Paul says one more thing. He says, they're given over to uncleanness and greediness. Proverbs tells us there are several things that never say enough. Fire never says enough. It just keeps burning. The fool never says enough at his folly. The old man is a fool. He walks in total sinfulness and total contradiction to God. And everything he does never satisfies. If you've come to know Jesus Christ, you know what I'm talking about. Because you too walked in that futility of mind. You once walked not wanting to be part of God, but wanting to satisfy yourself through every possible mean other than God himself. And God says, I can satisfy you. And that's where Paul turns the corner. He says in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. He says to the believer, you know the old man. You used to walk in this terrible pathway. You used to walk where your feeling was going away, where your conscience was being seared, and God and his word didn't make sense to you. But suddenly, something happened. You met Jesus. You learned Christ. When you came to Jesus Christ, life changed. Suddenly, you had a map, a GPS that had no other route. And Jesus came in, he said, I've got a detour. And Jesus invites you on this path that goes completely the other way. It doesn't keep going into sin, it goes further and further away from sin because Jesus carries you and drags you and draws you to himself. And he says, I will satisfy, your sin will never satisfy you. The old man runs after sin thinking it satisfies him. But the new man who's in Christ Jesus, who has learned Christ Jesus, who has come to Christ Jesus, the new man is satisfied in the person of Christ. Paul says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Listen, I read this passage and I think for a second, like, what does he mean by I've heard Jesus? Like, I don't know about you, but I have not heard Jesus speak audibly to me at any point in my life. Have you? If you have, I'm like, let's talk about it. But the reality is this, we have heard Jesus speak to us in our hearts. If you are a Christian, you are a Christian because Jesus drew you to himself. It is not because it made sense to you. It's not because some preacher preached a very eloquent sermon and convinced you to come to Christ. Yes, there is a necessitation for persuasion and convincing, but the reality is until Jesus Christ is the one calling you to himself, you will not come. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. If you know Jesus Christ, you have heard him. If you know Jesus Christ, you are being taught by him. Yes, I know it is so hard to imagine that we are being taught in the same way as the disciples were. But Jesus said, I have put my spirit in the world to draw you and to teach you and to keep you. He's given us his word. These sure words. You open your Bible and maybe you have a translation like mine. It's got red letters in it. Those are the very words Jesus spoke as he walked on earth. And as I read those, I hear Jesus speaking to me, inviting me to this new way, inviting me to live as the new man. You see, Jesus calls us to himself and he says, let's put off the old man. Let's stop thinking any of that sin is going to satisfy you. And let's start looking at the reality that I can satisfy you. It's like, have you ever gone to the Golden Corral? Or any, like a Chinese buffet, that's my jam. Like, I can go to any Chinese buffet. And it's, you go up for one plate, you come back, like, here's what I do. Every time I go, I'm like, all right, I'm going to do primarily vegetables and meat today. And so I go up for one plate, I'm like, ooh, that was really good. Oh, I still got room. And I go back, and the next time I get all the carbs, I come back to the table, and I've got this plate piled high, and I'm like, man, this is going to be good. And I start eating, and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to be satisfied. My hunger is going to be satisfied. And every time without fail, I'll end up sitting at the table, oh, too much. That hurt. Sin is like that. You think, oh, just a little bit. Just a little bit more. And eventually it brings about pain. It brings about loss and consequences. But when you go to Jesus, and you come to him, he says, I'll satisfy you. You stand there, and you take what he offers, and you take what he offers. Christian, you won't get tired of it. It will not leave you feeling sick, other than homesick, maybe. It will not leave you feeling like you have been deceived. It will not say, well, I just need another hit of this. Jesus Christ satisfies. The new man knows that going to Christ Jesus is the only way to satisfy every desire of his heart, because sin is a counterfeit. Sin promises joy that it cannot bring, and Jesus promises joy, and that's all he brings. He will satisfy you with his very presence in your life. Paul says, you've heard him, you've been taught by him, so here's what you know to do. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, here's what Paul says to do. You put off the old man, because you know the old man is not worth living in. And you put on the new man. Oh, Joe, how do I put on the new man? Get this. It's not like, I used to play hockey, and you'd have to put on all the equipment every day, go on the ice, take it off. Man, it is not laborious. It does, like, that used to take time. I mean, nowadays when I try and tie my skates, because I've got a little more on the midsection, I get up and then I go back down. Right? I'm working on it, I promise. I want to be around longer than most. But Jesus Christ puts on the new man for you. You go to God and you say, God, I have no power to resist my sin in and of myself. But you have given me your Spirit. You have given me your promises. Help me to walk in that Spirit. Help me to resist the flesh. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, he says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh are that which the old man desires, and walking in the Spirit is that which the new man desires. Because the new man sees the value, the Christian sees the value of walking with Jesus Christ, and how much that blesses his life and how much that satisfies the longings of his heart and what he was designed for. And let's get down to it. God created us. Therefore, he knows what's best for us. I was talking about that software update on my iPhone at the beginning of the service. Man, I am so glad that Johnson & Johnson does not perform the software update on my iPhone. I don't know what that would look like. I don't know if they'd put baby oil on it or whatever. But Apple, who designed my phone, their incredibly intelligent IT directors and their software developers and their designers know exactly what my phone needs, so that when I plug it in at night, suddenly everything is on it that needs to be on it. And Christian, if you start going to self-help books, if you start going to positive thinking books, if you start going to people that are not going to give you advice based on what Scripture has to say, then you are asking the person that didn't design your life, your heart, your desires, your needs to fix you, and they cannot. They may throw a rubber band or a band-aid on there, but God can actually heal the problem. The new man says, God can fix me. He is fixing me. And how do we see that play out? It says, you put off the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. These desires that bring us further and further away from where we want to be and where we're supposed to be. And you're renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. As you come to Jesus and you say, God, help me to be the man you want me to be. Help me to be the woman you want me to be. Help me to walk in your Spirit. He answers that prayer. He says, done. Here it is. And moment by moment, don't ever think this. Christian, maybe you're sitting here and maybe I touched a nerve and I pointed out a sin that you've been walking in for far too long. Maybe you are just like, maybe there's another thing going on and you're like, man, I'm living in the old man. You don't have to work yourself out of that pit. You can't. The only thing that can get you out of that pit is Jesus Christ. And he doesn't say work for it. He says put it on, which is simply asking for it. There is not a moment in your life where the Spirit of God does not want to take control. He wants you and all of you. And if you surrender to him, if you say, God, it's yours, do with me what you will, then he will do it. Paul is inviting the church at Ephesus, and Paul is inviting us through this word now to put away the things that deceive us into thinking they'll satisfy us, and to come to Jesus Christ and to receive that which he offers that does satisfy and that does draw us to a better understanding of who God is. I mentioned the song in the first service this morning that we sang, but turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his glorious face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The new man beholds Jesus in all his glory. The new man knows where he belongs and who he has learned. If you've never come to know Jesus Christ, my invitation to you is this. He says, come. He's come most of the way, frankly. It's like one step for you, and that's to repent and believe. He's done the work on the cross. He's signed the paperwork. He's got the tax, sale, and title. He's got it all figured out for you. He's got a place for you. And he says, just come. Repent and believe in me. Believe in what I did to save you, and you'll be saved. Well, what did he do to save you? He died on the cross. He was buried, and he rose again. And anybody who turns to him, who calls on him for salvation, will be saved. That's his promise, not mine. If you don't know that Jesus Christ, I'd love to speak with you after tonight. I'd love to share with you how you can know that Jesus Christ. And Christian, you say, man, I struggle with the old man. You will the rest of your life. But nonetheless, moment by moment, God invites you to say, Lord, help me walk in your spirit. Lord, give me the things I need to live in newness of life. And he answers that prayer. He's faithful to that. You don't believe me? I dare you. Try it all week. Try it now. Say, God, help me walk in the Spirit as I leave. Your countenance will change. Your friends will see a difference. Your family will be blessed if you surrender to God's work in your life and say, God, do in me what you must. Make me like Jesus.